Sim Shalom, Kavitzadik, that's the second column. Yeah. Sorry. Rachez Ben Azeh, so the Nesiv Shalom last week, explain that the reason for, or the what tshuva accomplishes, and tshuva meaning realizing that one sin, recognition of the sin, is what it serves as is the end of the sin. Because as long as a person does not recognize that he has sinned, then he is still involved in the ches. So the accomplishment of the recognition of the sin is that is considered the end of the sin. So that itself is not a mitzvah. Stopping to sin just serves the purpose of stopping to sin. That itself is not a mitzvah. The mitzvah is vidu, which is the confession afterwards.
Stopping from sin or stopping to sin?
Stopping
to sin?
The sin.
Excuse my ears.
It's a conclusion of the sin. A cheshbon hazeh, this cheshbon. This calculation, who amuk v'noike v'yoser, is deep and very penetrating. Davki kashi Yehudi mescharet is specifically when a Jew regrets. Echshu ha'emet afnei Hashem v'yam ha'kodesh yam ha'kipurim, and he stands before Hashem, for example, on the holiest day, on Yom Kippur. And he's saying vidui. And he's asking for forgiveness. If his heart is not with him, meaning that he does not feel the depth of the understanding of sinning against the Melech Malcham Lacham HaKadosh Baruch Hu, meaning he understands that something is wrong. He doesn't understand the depth of how terrible it is to sin before Hashem. Chaloshen HaVidui, as the wording of the Vidui is, Al Chet Shechatanu Lefanecha. We don't just say Al Chet Shechatanu. Right? On the sin that we sinned, we say on the sin that we sinned before you. That has to be part of the vidui, that we have to realize how terrible it is to sin in Hashem's presence. Im ein lo yazar gosha ke'esh tukat ba'atzmoisav ech higi al v'shiflis kizu, if the person doesn't have the feeling as if there's a fire burning in his bones, how did I reach such a low level? So then it's considered as if you're still continuing to sin, because you have not yet recognized the gravity of the sin. Now, it's not only that. It's not only that, but you're even... it's actually a new offense now, because you're not, by asking for forgiveness without recognizing the gravity of the sin, you're showing that I don't think it was so terrible.
Then why are you asking for forgiveness?
Exactly.
I mean, by asking forgiveness, doesn't that show you recognize it?
No, well, you're asking for forgiveness, you know, come on, God, it wasn't that terrible.
It's the next page of the Machzor.
That's better than people say, well, come on, God, I was really all right.
Huh?
It's better than people say, well, come on, God, I was really all right.
Right. Yeah, but it's better than that. But you say it's a... one has not reached the basic necessity of charata, a regret, which requires the understanding, the depth, and the gravity of the sin.
The court system is set up that way. The person doesn't have remorse, then the court system is different.
I mean, basically he's right. If the person doesn't have remorse, he'll probably repeat it.
It's a little easy to say, I'm sorry. I'm not going.
Yeah. My father, one year, I think it was 1 year before Kol Nidre, he said, he told the story that his twin brother, Aaron, he was a little boy, my father had an older brother, Mati, Chaim's father. So he said Mati was an older bachar, right? So he used to harass them terribly. So he once Aaron had done something wrong, and Mati was giving it to him over the head. He was hitting him. He said, "I'm sorry." So Aaron finally said, "I'm sorry." He said, "What are you sorry about?" He said, "I'm sorry I have a brother like you." So the question is, what she's saying, "I'm sorry for." Umatzotzi kidvorim ha'elu bedroshos Ramban Rosh Hashanah. I found, says the Nesiv Shalom, I found words such as these in the drashas of the Ramban for Rosh Hashanah. And these are his other shani, these are his words. Hatshuva hi chesed godol al abriyas. Says the Ramban, tshuva is a great kindness upon the creations. Aval gam oynish godol hi lahem, but it's also a terrible punishment. Why? Because when a person sins, he transgresses the will of his creator one time, which is the time of the sin. But when he has the ability to do tshuva and he's not doing tshuva, that itself is an offense. If he's standing in the Avera, Ve'ena Shav B'tshuva, Oymed B'mirdoi Kol Yomov. So that means that he is holding on to his rebellion all of his days. Ve'ena Choshish Lasus Ritzayim Boyrein. He's not concerned about doing the will of his Creator. So if there wouldn't be a possibility of tshuva, okay, I sin. What do I do now? I'm sorry. I'm doing it. But if the sin, once the possibility of tshuva is there, yes, it's a tremendous bracha. But for those who aren't going to take advantage of it, that itself, the fact that they're not doing tshuva is a terrible offense.
He's overreaching here. If not doing tshuva can be an additional offense, then doing tshuva should be a mitzvah, like he just said it's not. So either doing tshuva is a mitzvah, or not doing tshuva is a...
It happens to be, by the way, that the Ramban, who he's quoting here, holds up the tshuva as a mitzvah. This last couple lines. The Ramban actually disagrees with the Ramban, but the Ramban, he holds that tshuva is a mitzvah. So I'd be right over there. But I'm not sure why you're saying that anyway.
Because if tshuva is a, if not doing tshuva is a, an additional avera, a second avera, a new avera, why would it be an avera unless you're commanded to do it? And if you're commanded to do it, then it's a mitzvah.
It's available.
Yeah.
Not commanded. It's available. It's something that's available to you.
So why is it?
Because why aren't you taking advantage of something that's available to you?
not taking advantage of something that's available to you is an event.
Yeah, the king says you're.
He didn't tell you to do it.
Why don't you say I'm sorry?
Here's a nice steak. You know, if you don't, I'm presenting you with a steak every day. You don't eat it. That's a sin. If you don't eat it.
It's not that. You have the king says you have offended me. You have the ability to ask forgiveness. That's an offense.
Okay.
You're not. You don't even care.
If it's a violation, then not violating it, that is, complying, must be a mitzvah.
No, it doesn't need to be a mitzvah. No, I don't think it needs to. I don't know. He's not. It's not a mitzvah. It's an opportunity. It's an opportunity to rectify things. And if you don't care to rectify things, that itself is an offense. I think it's very simple.
It's wiping out an aveira.
Yeah. That's what we're talking about.
When you have a scale of mitzvahs and aveiras, that there would be all the same way. If you can reduce the aveira side of the scale, then you're better off.
If he doesn't know he did anything wrong, I guess you can't tie him for not doing tshuva. If he doesn't realize he did an aveira, you know. But if he knows he did an aveira, that would.
I always have a hard time. It's like a, I don't know, midrash or a mashal or whatever. You hear it around Yom Kippur about prisoners who dig a tunnel and everyone escapes except the last one, and he gets beaten worse than.
Because the others are gone.
Because they took off. And I always had a hard time. It's like, why did he get beaten worse? He stayed.
But the other guys are gone.
When the guard catches him, he says, "You had a tunnel. You could have escaped." Mm-hmm.
Okay, man.
No reports for stupidity.
You're saying that erasing a negative should be the same as a positive.
I'm only taking from his argument. He says that tshuva is not a mitzvah. So okay, if you're going to hold like that, then how can it be an avera? How can the opposite be an avera? It seems like they're the flip side of each other. If you erase, if you negate one, then it seems like you negate the other also.
If you don't hold
like he does in the first place, then the second.
I don't see how you can. You don't see the.
It's a chutzpah.
Right. You have, let's say, your child did something terrible to you, and you know that he knows that he can say, "I'm sorry."
This is because I would. This all makes sense if you say that tshuva is a mitzvah.
No.
If you say tshuva is a mitzvah, then not doing tshuva is an avera.
If your son did something terrible that offended you,
yeah,
he knows that he has to apologize.
Okay.
And that's an mitzvah to apologize? No.
You say that's an obligation.
Yeah, it's an obligation to apologize. Gosh, I did something terrible. I have an obligation to apologize now. I did something bad. I spilled coffee on your coat. Oh, I'm sorry. If I spill coffee in your coat, don't do anything over there.
If a guy murders somebody, and he gets caught, and he goes to prison, does he get rewarded for going to prison?
No. So but
he does in the fact that he's required, he's obligated to go to prison. If he fails to do that, then he's got a new offense called escape.
As I said before, when the child is perfect, until you apologize, you have timed out.
Yeah, so he says that's because there's an obligation.
Yeah.
If there's no obligation, then what have you done wrong? Of course there's an obligation.
I would say that it's not because you have an obligation. It's because you have an opportunity. You have an opportunity to rectify things. And you should be taking advantage of an opportunity. Kolish came, and even more so, Kishim is following.
How do you make a lower?
What?
Make a lower.
You can make a lower. We'll
pull the chain.
It's fine. We'll all
shred. The rub once.
Oh.
Obviously,
the Kolish came, Kishim is following, and Mizvadim and Tiyakim, and even more so, when we daven and we confess and we scream, Chatanu, we've sinned, Avinu, Pashanu, Ve'ena Manichem Asavainis, and then we don't even leave the averes behind. Zebavadei Mered Godlu. That is definitely a great offense. Saying things and not meaning it is itself an offense. Umoisef alas mechad an avikas, and a person adds upon himself Hashem's wrath and anger. Ayin shom hashmarach was that. Those are the words of the Rambam. Ve'im ki lefi cheshbon zeh. So now, basically, according to what he's just said, it's impossible for us to ever do tshuva. Because we have no way of really of knowing the gravity of an avir. It's beyond our comprehension to be able to imagine what it means to sin in front of Hashem. It's way beyond our comprehension. And since he says that without realizing the gravity of the sin, basically you haven't even touched the doorknob of tshuva.
In fact, you've committed a new event,
right.
So it just gets
worse. He says, so even though according to this calculation, it says as if I just closed off all the ways of tshuva, so the great rule about this is according the words of the Lechavich, and he says, how's it possible to do tshuva? But how's it possible not to do tshuva? He says, so the way to do tshuva is the way Chazal say, Chazal say, when a person has a hole in the wall, it's very deep.
Oh, with chametz.
Right, and he has to do bedikas chametz.
As far as he can go.
So Chazal say, you should search as far as your hand reaches.
That's it.
As far as you're able to search. And whatever's left, you should be mevatel. You should negate it in your heart. So he says that's how one has to do with tshuva. A person has to do whatever he can to be able to study and to understand how the gravity of an avera. And once the person has done whatever he's able to do, that's all the Rebbeinu Shlom expects of him. So this saying is the way to enter the ways of tshuva. The person should deepen their understanding according to their level as far as a person can reach. By that the person is opening the hole of a needle, and then Hashem will open up for him the walls of the openings of chambers. Now, in the light of the above mentioned, Yizbor B'tuv Tam will be explained with a good understanding by the East of Hashem Rishonim. What is written in the name of Rishonim, Sha'odam HaMaskharat HaMas HaMaroyim Yesh Lekvar Din Bal Tshuva, that a person that regrets his bad actions already has a status of a Baal Tshuva. Even on severe averis, where the atonement for that, the Gemara says, requires affliction or death. Let's say Chil Hashem. Chil Hashem, the Gemara says, one is not atoned for a person until he dies. Someone who transgresses an avera that is punishable by the four mises bezin, right? So one is not atoned until he gets mises bezin. Nevertheless, as soon as a person regrets what he has done, the person is already considered a Baal Tshuva, even though he hasn't reached that level of atonement yet. Why is that? Imach is charet. We're still in the middle of the kasha, right? The halacha is as soon as the person regrets it, shuvein a rasha. He's no longer considered a rasha. Kasha la'oid. He's allowed to testify, right? The halacha is that one is someone that's a rasha is not allowed to be an aid. Not allowed to testify in bezdin.
Does that mean he's not chai of those things anymore? He serve with misa, or he still ultimately needs it?
Pashas, he needs it. At least when it's available.
Anyone hasn't touched you with a Russian?
Yes.
So,
no, certainly there is. Oh. Any loisa say that is punishable by Malkus. But if you're a Masali condition, I don't know if you ever were you ever in an aid condition? Usually in the Masada condition will tell you to do tshuva right before you.
And then it's a question of fact whether a person actually did tshuva then?
We put a yid and a chesed, whether if not, there's no way of knowing.
So we're looking at a lot of invalid marriages.
If indeed a person is not kosher for haters. I say the litishim are makbid that the Hadim should see the kalim or the kedushim because they have to testify. Right? Well, the whole purpose of the Hadim is to testify that this man married this woman. Right? If they don't, the chasid can see. The kalim is covered over by a veil. How are they supposed to know who married who? Right, so they lift up the veil for the Adams to see the column. Let's do that. So they say that Rav David Soloveitchik in Yerushalayim is a brisker. So he tells the Adam come over to the Chuba. He says to them, "Do tshuva. You have to be kosher Adam. Do tshuva. Okay. Do tshuva. Yeah." Did you see the kali? They said no. So he said he lifts up the he has them lift up the veil. They said look at the kali. And then so then he says to them, "You saw the kali, yeah? Would you recognize the kali you saw on the street?" So they said no. Usually that's the case. No. So they lift up the veil again. They look again. Okay, you saw the kali? Yeah. If you recognize, see it on the street, you recognize it, then I'll do tshuva again.
is this used as in cases of aguna to get the poor aguna out of her situation?
How would that mean?
It's saying that the edim were not kosher edim.
It's very, very seldomly used. There was a couple of whatever, but 50 years ago, 50, 60 years ago, there was a whole story in Israel where there was a mamzer case, actually. The only way to purify the children was to negate the first marriage. And one Rav wanted to negate the first marriage based on the fact that the Edom weren't kosher Edom.
For the kosher, not kosher for this reason or for some other reason?
For whatever reason, where they were. That.
Are you allowed?
That Rav basically took on the status of a mamzer from that time on. the Rabbanim were very, very upset with him. It was just an unheard of type of. I had to go look back and aid them and try to negate their. Kosher status.
All right.
Do you have any force against those Adim? If, for example, you marry the wrong woman or whatever, they say that's the right kala and it's not.
No. But anyway, that is it's important for an aid has to be someone who is not a Rosh. My father went to Green Bay for a wedding. He was in Masada Kedushin. And And when it came to the chuppah, so my father said to the chosen, is there a chad that wants to win 200 people at the wedding? My father said to the chosen, I need one more Shomer Shabbos besides myself to be aid for this. So the chosen looked around and he said, there isn't anybody. So my father said, well, we're not having a chuppah until we get a Shomer Shabbos. So they had to wait, I think it was an hour and a half, and somebody came from Milwaukee. Held up a whole chuppah prayer.
My first wedding, my first marriage, my aid of my was my father and my brother.
Oh, it doesn't work.
That's why it was your first marriage.
Okay. But as soon as a person does tshuva, meaning as soon as a person regrets, you tell the eidim do tshuva, right? And they have a machshava of regret for any averus they've done. They're already kosher eidus, even though they might have done chil Hashem, they might have done something that requires greater atonement than just a thought. That nevertheless, they're kosher eidim. So how does that work? Right, we find this in Chazal. Harayat mekudeshes amanashani tzadik. Afilo hayrasha gama mekudeshes. Chazal say that if a man says to a woman, "I hereby betroth you on the condition that I am a tzadik gama," right? And we know that this person just ate chazer a couple minutes ago. Right? He still has to give her a get. We have to be concerned that it might be a valid condition. Why? Because maybe at that moment he regretted doing what his avers. A person could become a tzaddik gomer in a second. Right? Why Hashem heard tshuva b'datay? Maybe he had a thought of tshuva. B'tamur, he said, how can you understand this? Alei afilu him here b'tshuva, even if he had a thought of tshuva, mekamakam rasha gomeru, he's still a full-fledged rasha, achrei sha'avra ala chamurois. Since he transgressed the worst averus, shekabros and kashem oid, whose atonement is a very difficult atonement. According to what we've said, reishis ha'tshuva yacharot. The beginning of tshuva is regret. Sheafsakas ha'chet. That indicates that the chet is over. Achshatzarach kapala kapara v'kinuach halichluch. Yes, the person still needs a atonement, which means to cleanse himself of the shmut that the avera caused. Those are the four different ways of kapara, whether it's atonement, yom kippur, death, whatever it is. That's only required to get rid of the shmuts. But all that's necessary to take a person out of the status of rasha is that the person has to finish. Has to conclude his aver. Right? As long as the person is involved in the aver, he's a rasha. But as soon as the person regrets his aver, that indicates the conclusion of the aver, and the person is no longer a rasha. Yes, his neshama still needs cleansing. Whether that's going to happen through affliction or through yom kippur or through misa, that's separate. But he no longer has the status of rasha.
Tshuva is just opening the door and walking.
No, tshuva is closing the door.
Not closing. You're just saying.
You have to close the door to the aver. You have to close the door behind you.
Closing one and opening another.
That's why the pasuk.
The conclusion of the chet.
Because if you just say that, okay, I'm going to stop the tie.
Not just saying, it's actually regret.
Well, it takes time to do it. You don't just say it and it happens. So it has to be worked on.
No, but you can regret doing it.
Yeah, yeah.
Even though recognizing that I may do it again because I'm weak, but I sure enough regret it and I hope I don't do it again.
that's enough to clear. All right, fine. Yep. I just don't understand.
That's why, isn't it, that the order of the Surmei Ram Atse Tov, turn away from the evil. You got to do that first before you can do any of the good stuff.
Yep.
Yeah, the turning away from the evil is stopping doing what you're doing, like I said, closing the door.
Right. Yep. According to what we said, what comes out is a person is never considered a rasha or puzzle for edus because sins that he has done in the past. It's only because you're involved in a sin now. That's why a person is a rasha. If a person he established that when a person does not regret doing an avera, he's still involved in that sin. Until you regret it, you're still involved in that sin. So you're never a rasha for anything you've done in the past. You're only a rasha for something you're involved in now. And as long as you haven't regretted what you've done, you're still involved in that avera.
But how do you know?
So anything you've done in the past.
How do you know? Like an outside person would never know if he regretted it. Right. The person himself is the only one. Mm-hmm. That
exactly.
That's right. That's why we have to judge favorably.
So basically, that means that you have to assume that every person is not a Russian. Is that correct?
Right.
It's not.
Yeah. How would we assume that he's not a Russian? Unless by somebody who let's say somebody who doesn't have air publicly. Right, we will not allow him to be an aid unless we know for sure that he has done tshuva. Somebody who has stolen, for example, will not be able to be an aid until he returns the money.
But if that person stole and went to prison, for example, is that good enough?
No, he has to return the money. Until he returns the money, he won't be taken for an aid.
If someone, God forbid, did an avera publicly, does he have to do some form of tshuva publicly as well?
That would probably be because every public aveira is chil Hashem as well.
It's in order to affect the kiddush Hashem that feel
public. The mekivish hanim is chara is because when the person does not regret the aveira, then the aveira is continuous. Chadugmas hagana v'agazlan. Here we go. Right? The example is the thief. Shimla hishivu. If they have not yet returned what they have stolen, vagneva tachas yodam, they still have the stolen objects in their possession. Harehem oid mamshicha mechait. They are continuously doing an avera. Lakinim psulim. That's why they're puzzled. It's not because they haven't done tshuva. That's not why they're. It's not because they. It's not because they committed theft in the past. It's because they are thieves. Right? They haven't. Yeah, as long as they haven't returned the stolen object, they are currently. The person is currently a thief. It's not that he has committed theft in the past.
He can't return the stolen item. He stole something and he needed money for his kids. Whatever. I don't know. He stole it and he bought food and he fed his kids with it. Now he's no money left. I have no money left. You know, poor guy. He stole something and he has no money left. How does anyone do tshuva? How does he do tshuva?
If you took a code and you didn't even know that it was.
Well, if you don't know, you can't do tshuva. That's the first thing we said. You have to know you didn't have it. But what if you can't return?
Let's see. The first step towards restitution, let's say, you know, he owes $100 and so he has 50 cents on it, so he gives the guy 50 cents. Is that enough?
But I had to feed my kids, and I don't know.
If he's justifying himself, then that's not considered true.
Okay.
If he's doing whatever he can to return the neva, then I can hear that.
It sounds also on a national level too. It says that every day that we don't have the Beis Hamikdash, it's as if it was destroyed.
Right.
So it sounds like we're in this also as a nation.
Right. As long as we don't realize the gravity of what we've done to cause the destruction of the Beis Hamikdash.
Just as good as wow. Yeah. Sorry.
Thanks.
Well, Cain, I'm still him. Avakash Maschar, that when a person regrets it, Chayza the Kashrusai, he returns to his kosher status. Aval Bisha Adaylan is Kapravani, even though his Avera has yet not yet been atoned for. This is also the explanation of the words of the Rambam. The Rambam says that a complete tshuva, how does a person know that he has done complete tshuva? When he finds himself in that same stage of his life, meaning he's referring to a case of adultery. Right? So the person is still in his younger years, where his desires are still strong, and he finds himself in the same place with the same woman, and he doesn't commit the avera, then the person knows that he has done tshuva.
Wouldn't he be better off if he just stays away from that situation altogether? Like, he doesn't go.
Of course. He's not allowed to put himself in the same situation. But if he does happen to be in the same situation, he doesn't do the avera, he knows that his avera is that he has done tshuva. Nevertheless, these are the words of the Rambam. Even if the person did tshuva in his older years, even if he did tshuva on his deathbed, his tshuva is accepted. So we need to understand the words of the Rambam. The Inyan Mamu Ila tshuva lefnei misa. How can tshuva on his deathbed be worth anything? I mean, he hasn't proven himself. I mean, what's why is that worth anything? But the intent is here, according to our words, regret and recognizing the sin, that is considered the conclusion of the avera. The inner nikro is rasha. He's no longer a rasha. Once the person concludes sinning, concludes that sin, he's no longer considered a rasha. So in that sense, tshuva works even on his deathbed. I now realize that I have done the avera. Oh, okay. Tshuva, your chait is now concluded.
You said it doesn't work if you steal money.
Huh?
We said it doesn't work if you steal money. You have to return the money.
Right.
So you can do tshuva on your deathbed.
Right. You yeah, that's true. That's true. He's talking about an avera that doesn't mean nothing to Malka. But it is not a full tshuva to uproot the root of the chait. That's like only one of those years. Which is too much of a shmuz for right now.